It is time for us to check sports. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring in Mike Conzie. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And how are you this morning?
I'm good.
All right. We've got rain in the forecast here for today and tonight. And then it looks okay Saturday, but Mother's Day, and then Monday will be rainy again. Oh, well. What can you do, Mike? What can you do? It's the weather.
Can't fight the weather.
All right. Where do you want to go in sports?
Stanley Cup playoffs started off with last night. The Eastern Conference Finals were on, and it was a real close game between Boston and Carolina. It was a 3-2 game going late in the third period. With 2.5 minutes left, the Carolina coach pulled the goalie way too early. A fluky goal made it 3-2, and then the floodgates opened up. Boston finished up winning 5-2. It was a one-goal game, and Carolina was peppering the net. Just missed on a couple of attempts, and all of a sudden, he pulls the goalie with 2.5 minutes to go. I didn't get it. I mean, you were right there. You didn't need an extra minute and a half. You weren't down 2 goals. You just down the one. You were pressuring Boston, and then you pull the goalie and then pull all the air out of the balloon. It was an awful move by the coach of Carolina. They lost the first game in a game that they could have won. Boston won. And it's going to be a tough sled now for Carolina because next game's in Boston. Boston goes up 2-0 at home. You kind of put a lot of pressure on Carolina at that point. So a bad move last night put Carolina in a bad position.
Now, here's my feelings on Carolina, all right? I hate the Bruins because I'm a Ranger fan. I don't hate the Bruins, but, I mean, the Bruins aren't one of my favorite teams. But Carolina held up Hartford to try to get a new Coliseum.
I know. You got to give that. That was 50 years ago almost.
I'm not giving it up. I hope a hurricane blows down there, sooner or later blows down their Civic Center. Hartford rebuilt the Civic Center after it collapsed, rebuilt it to NHL standards and everything like that, added extra seats, put all that extra money into it. And then another 10 years later, this guy comes and wants a brand new arena. The hell with him. I'm sorry. That's where I
start. Grapes, folks, and he says, I hate the Yankees.
That's right. Mike, I'm like an Italian. My grudges will die 3 years after I do.
I could get it, but, you know, looking on the outside, a lot of teams move.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. A lot of teams move, but what the heck. All right, so let's see. Where else? The Yankees won last night. Happ, once again, did a nice job pitching for the Yankees.
Yeah, they combined on a one-hitter to the ninth, one-hit shutout to the ninth until Chapman gave it up. The young kids got a couple of hits, scored a couple of runs, and they beat Seattle 3-1. It's just funny how these announcers just change things, though. In the ninth inning with two guys on, I think his name's Urshela, the third baseman.
Yeah.
He got jammed on a pitch, and he kind of like inside out of the ball. He got lucky on the swing and hit a line drive to right field and knocked in the two runs, and they were raving what a great job of hitting it was. I don't know. To me, it looked like more like a lucky swing than anything. But the kids still produce.
That's it.
And I'm just waiting to see what happens when all the multimillionaires come back. Are they going to stick them in, or are they going to go with the kids? With the way these kids are playing, you got to give themselves a chance to play themselves out of the lineup.
Oh, I think they'll stick the multimillionaires back in the outfield. I don't know if they're going to change the infield that much because the infield has produced big time both defensively and offensively.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the infield's the infield, and the injuries in the infield aren't healing yet, so they're going to have to stay with the young kids there. But in the outfield, you're getting production from some outfielders. I mean, Frazier's hitting just under 300. You got Maben's hitting the ball very well. So you're just going to flip these guys in and out. I don't know. I guess you have to pay the guys, so you got to play the guys. But I don't know. I go with the guys that are playing good.
I can tell you, Judge, the minute he's available, go back in. We'll go back in.
Oh, yeah, and Stanton, too. But,
yeah. You
know, Judge is, in my opinion, Judge is a lot better player than Stanton.
I think you're right. I think over the long run, the Yankees don't need Stanton like they need Judge. And Judge is also a fan favorite, by the way. Stanton is not.
I know.
So, but that's,
Houston keeps winning.
Well, Houston is Houston, you know. Whatever happened to Keuchel? Does he still pitch for them?
No. Marshall.
Who's he pitching for?
You got to start taking those vitamins.
And who's he pitching for?
Nobody. He's still unsigned.
Yeah, nobody signed him.
No, I'm telling you, the guy's damaged goods. No, you're not going to have any kind of a lefty in the major leagues that can produce that's sitting on the sidelines. He's refusing to come down on his contract, so nobody's going to give him the money he's looking for. To me, he's damaged goods. He fell apart last year, the second half of the year for the Astros. If he was a top pitcher, he wouldn't be on the outside looking in no matter what he's asking for. And he's just waiting until some big team falls into big trouble and they're looking to sign him. If the Yankees pitching staff fell apart the way that the other parts of it fell apart, they might have gave in and signed him. But I don't see anybody caving in to give him the money he's looking for.
I hated the way he hung his arm before he pitched. I just hated that.
That wasn't him. That's Kimbrel.
That's Kimbrel?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Kimbrel.
Kimbrel's the guy that stands
Kimbrel,
out there like
Kimbrel, whatever. I hate that with that arm hanging to the side.
No, that's Kimbrel. Oh, that's Kimbrel. That's not. Keuchel's the guy with one of the Smith brothers' beards.
Okay, that's all right. You're right. Okay, you're right. There you go. And there's more and more of those guys in sports. They shave their heads and they grow their beards.
Yeah, to me, it's a disgusting look.
It's upside down.
Yeah.
Shave your beards and grow your hair. Anyways, do we have any racing this weekend?
Yeah, we got some racing. Belmont Park tomorrow has a pretty decent day with a couple of stakes races in it. The Peter Pan, which is a prep for the Belmont, is the fourth race tomorrow. It's a grade three, one turn, mile and an eighth. It only draws five horses in here, but it's a pretty good field. Two horses I'm looking at. One is the one Intrepid Heart. This horse is top and bottom real good, coming off an optional 75,000 claimer at Keeneland, going two turns, undefeated lifetime, 7-5 more in the line. Going to be tough to beat. Horse I'm going to throw to try to beat him is trained by Jason Service, if you remember who he is. This horse really didn't run well in the Wood Memorial, but up before that on a one-turn mile at Gulfstream Park ran really good. 3-1 morning line, try to make a little money with the exacta there. So a 1-5-5-1 exacta in the Peter Pan tomorrow. We're supposed to get a little rain today, but I don't think we're supposed to get that much that would affect the turf tomorrow at Belmont. So that leads us on to the seventh race, which is the Grade 3 Bouguet, mile and a 16th on the turf. You got a big favorite in here with Competition of Ideas with Chad Brown. In a six-horse race, I'm not going to go with a 7-5 shot. I'm going to look toward the rail to Clement's horse. I think this horse has a little bit of speed on the inner turf. That's going to be dangerous in a short field if this horse is allowed to rest on the front end. It could spell a little bit of an upset at 4-1. So the one horse, Chipolata, is going to be my pick in the seventh race tomorrow. And in the six-horse race, I'm not looking for any exactas here. Ninth race is the Run Happy, $150,000 race going six furlongs. My pick here is going to be Forenzi Fire, the three-horse, again trained by Jason Service. This horse ran fourth in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, had a little time off. Ran an even race down at Tampa Bay Downs, but I think this horse was setting up for this race all year long, all spring long. So at 7-2, I'm going to go with the three-horse Forenzi Fire. And the last race of the day I'm going to pick is the 10th race, is the Man of War Grade 1, a mile and 3/8 on the inner turf. I'm looking for some speed in this race, and the two speed horses I come up with, one is going to be the three-horse Village King with Johnny Velasquez for Pletcher. This horse has run a mile and 3/8 and a mile and a half down at Gulfstream and showed real speed on the front end. The Belmont in the turf has been traditionally a speed favorite track, and at 15-1 for me, this horse is a must use. My top pick is going to be the 8-horse trained by Billy Mott, ridden by Jose Rosario, Channel Marker. This horse has three starts at Belmont with the win, and he's 1-2 at the distance. He was running in a couple of marathons down at Gulfstream Park as well. But I, again, think that the inner turf surface is going to favor him at 6-1. So in the Man of War, I'm going to go with the 8 Channel Marker and an exacta box of 3-8. And that race is the 10th tomorrow at Belmont. And just a little shout-out for my boys at St. John Vianney. We started the season 0-2, and since then we're 10-2 and playing some really good ball heading into the tournament. And both the JV and varsity programs has turned it around a lot. So a lot of effort from a lot of good kids, and looking forward to a few more games this year.
All right, Mr. Coach, we'll speak to you on Monday.
Have a great day, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too, Mike. Bye-bye. I'm Mike Kosky with the Check on Sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.